Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic Singles. Every day, hundreds of Catholic singles join CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Breadbox Media listeners get 20% off by using the promo code BREADBOX when they register. Come be our next success story at CatholicSingles.com. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Welcome to the Will Within podcast. This is your home for shared stories of hope, perseverance, will, and inspiration. Join us today as we share another story that brings to life the underlying beat of our lives. Consider us your virtual friends. Let's get inspired.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Will Within podcast. I'm your host, Regina Pontus. My guest today once defined himself as the worry man, but now, through his many books regarding worry, he's helping countless souls break through their stressful existence and answer Jesus' call to trust in him. Through my guest's former radio show, his current podcast on Breadbox Media, and countless guest appearances on TV and other radio shows and podcasts, he's opening our hearts and minds to the Scripture and its message of hope, comfort, and support in Christ. It is my pleasure to bring to you my recent chat with the author of Give Up Worry for Lent. Perfect timing, by the way. It's next Wednesday. Gary Zemak. Well, welcome, Gary. It's so exciting to talk to you today. And I'm thrilled that you're here because I saw you talk to Bonnie Rogers on Catholic TV. And I said, perfect timing about the Lent. I said, let me get him on as soon as I can so we can make sure people get all excited and order the book and start it on the 26th. So welcome. Thank you for doing this for me.
Thank you, Regina. It is an absolute honor to be with you. Thank you very much. And I can't wait to talk about this.
I know. I'm so excited. I really am. I think this book looks excellent. And I wanted to get an understanding of your background, your history, and then we can go on to talking more about the book in greater detail, because I got tons of questions.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah. So just briefly, I'm a cradle Catholic. I'm somebody who, and you know, I'm never pleased to admit this, but it's absolutely true. I went through the motions for many years. I went to Mass every Sunday, received all the sacraments, went to Catholic school, but I never really had what I would call a personal relationship with Jesus, or never really surrendered my life to him until not all that long ago, you know, maybe 15 years ago or so. But I, you know, I'm blessed because my parents always just made it very clear that you go to Mass on Sunday, period. You do that. And I'm really grateful that they did that, because I would never think of not going. But, you know, it's funny. You hear a lot of people who explore different denominations who left their Catholic church to try to really find a closer relationship with the Lord. Regina, I was too lazy to even do any of that. I'm just going to go through the motions. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, going back to when I was very young, I was an anxious child. I was anxious from the time maybe I was 6 years old, and I worried about everything. My particular specialty when it comes to worry was about my health. I was a hypochondriac, and you know, I had every kind of disease imaginable, even though I was healthy. So that just progressed over the years. The type of worry changed, and I still remember, I've had many, many conversions throughout the years, but the big one occurred in 2004. It was late 2004 when I had this mysterious health ailment and I thought I was dying. I had my wife convinced me to go to the doctor because hypochondriacs, we don't go to the doctor because the doctor might find something wrong. Right, so we just worry about things, right?
Well,
so
I have to be honest with you. I'm kind of like that too. I remember an incident when I was 7 and somebody said something to me and that changed the whole trajectory of me being anxious. And then when I was in mass in my 20s, then it got really worse. So I can understand what you're talking about.
Yeah. So what happened was I went to the doctor and had some mystery symptoms. I had no idea what was going on. And they did a series of tests and one thing led to another. And I ended up going for all kinds of tests and the potential for cancer was there. And it turned out, Regina, that several months later, after the doctor saying, well, it looks like you probably have some sort of lymphoma. And when I heard that, automatically I assumed, all right, that's it. I'm dying, so it's time to become a good Catholic. That was my rationale. So I started really embracing the teachings of the church, listening to Catholic radio, watching Catholic TV, going to daily mass, reading the Bible, all the things that I should have been doing for years. And oddly enough, even though I had no clear-cut diagnosis that was going to give me any hope, I was feeling peaceful. So it then dawned on me that I had finally responded to Jesus, who had been calling me for years. And I realized that I could feel peace even in the midst of turmoil, even in the storm. A few months later, the symptoms vanished. They never found anything wrong with me, but I knew full well what had happened. The Lord had finally stepped up the effort to get in touch with me, to get me to respond. I responded. And I have never looked back since that day. And I continue to try to grow closer to Jesus every day and to surrender to him, to give my life to him and let him lead me. And I have found that when I do that, even though I still have a tendency to be anxious, that's my tendency, I live most of my days in peace because he's helping me. I'm not doing it, Regina. I'm just turning to him and he's helping me. He's giving me his peace.
Yeah, like you said in one of the talks that I remember hearing once, you said the Divine Mercy image means so much to you with Sister Faustina that he says, Jesus, I trust you. That was the message that he left.
That's right.
And he said a lot of profound things in the Sister Faustina in her diary. Would you want to expound on that a little bit?
Absolutely. And yes, I still look at that Divine Mercy image and I pray those words, Jesus, I trust in you. That's one of my favorite prayers. One of the most startling things Jesus revealed to St. Faustina, and you know, this is an approved church apparition. This is not some fly-by-night apparition. This is fully approved by the church, as you know, that this is worthy of belief according to the church. So this is Jesus talking to St. Faustina, saying that what causes him the most pain is when we don't trust him. And that is just unbelievable. That hit me like a ton of bricks when I heard that. And I thought,
it did me last week.
Right?
So I was like, oh my God. After I heard your voice, I was like, wait a minute. When you was talking to Bonnie, I'm like, he's correct. He's true. Right. I mean, it's like insulting God by not trusting him.
Right, right. So then that got my attention and I realized that I need to do something about that. And whereas I can't make myself not be afraid, I can, when I feel fear or anxiety, I can turn to Jesus and say, Lord, help me, and refuse to worry, because worry is a conscious act. A lot of times we don't realize that, but that whole Divine Mercy message resonates with me very powerfully. And I remember that every day I turn to Jesus and I say, Lord, I can't do this without you. I don't want to hurt you, Lord. I want to trust in you. I'm scared to death. I'm nervous. I'm nervous how this is going to work out, but I am making the decision to trust you, Lord, even though I am scared. And what I've learned, Regina, is that over time, I'm able to feel a lot more peaceful and trust him more when I see what he's done in my life. It's just unbelievable.
Let me ask you this. I know you're not a doctor and you always say that, but I'm interested in your definition of worry versus anxiety. And
how do
we break this habit?
Because
it is habit forming. And if we look at the book itself, I know we're going to get into the book in greater detail in a minute, but I just kind of want to give an overview of anxiety versus worry and discouragement and anxiety, just to kind of get a different descriptions of them, what you see them as.
Yeah, and that's a great question, because sometimes we intermix or confuse these terms and use them interchangeably, which they aren't. Well, first, I would say there is something called fear. Fear is an emotion. It's not right. It's not wrong. It is something that we can't control. Fear is something experienced, if we open the Bible, we see Abraham was afraid. We see Moses afraid. We see the Blessed Mother is documented as being afraid. Here's somebody who was...
I never heard that.
Yeah, that's in when the angel appeared to the Blessed Mother at the Annunciation.
She was anxious. Okay, all right.
He said, do not be afraid.
Yes.
That implies that she was afraid. She was conceived without original sin, never committed a sin in her life, but yet she experienced the emotion of fear. St. Joseph was afraid because when he was told by the angel of the Lord in his dream, do not be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife. So there was some fear there. St. Paul, all of these great, good, holy people are documented in the Bible as being afraid. So fear is just that. It's a feeling. It's an emotion. The church calls it a passion sometimes. It can't be controlled. So don't be afraid to be afraid. That's what I always tell everybody.
Okay.
Now we have fear. And then I guess, as you said, and I'm glad you did, that I'm not a doctor, I'm not a therapist or psychologist, but I've talked to a lot of Catholic therapists and psychologists just to make sure that what I'm saying is a good message. And I've always gotten that, yes, what you're saying is absolutely true. But Regina, there's something called clinical anxiety. That's a condition that may require treatment. It could require medication or therapy. That is different than your plain old ordinary worry. So anxiety is just like a fear on steroids, if you will. And sometimes I tell people, don't be afraid to go see a therapist or psychologist or a doctor to get medicine, because it oftentimes can be a biological condition. So that's the distinction between fear and anxiety. Worry is when we turn inward and ruminate that things are just not going to work out. We look at a worst case scenario. I have a tendency to do that very well. I spent 30 years as a software developer, so I'm kind of like a black and white person. Mm-hmm. And I'm also somebody who anticipates problems. That's what my job required me to do.
Exactly.
Right.
That's so me, it's personality. I'm with you.
Right. And it's bad because we can see potential problems when other people would never think of these problems. Mm-hmm. Now, that can be disastrous when it comes to trusting the Lord, because we're going to think of all these reasons why we shouldn't trust him. So that's worry. Worry, Jesus said, do not worry. He was really clear about that in the Sermon on the Mount. And I see a lot of hope in that message, because Jesus would not tell me to not worry if it wasn't possible. And so I find that very hopeful. Now, we also have concern, which means you've got a situation in your life, maybe something that causes fear, possibility of financial difficulty, or maybe you're not feeling well and you need to do something about it. Concern is when we look at a circumstance in our life, something that might cause fear, and do what we can about it. I mean, I never advocate to anybody to not be concerned about your problems, because the Lord gave us a brain. He gave us common sense. He wants us to do something. Mm-hmm. But worry is when we let that fear lead us to try to control the uncontrollable. Concern means if you can handle a problem, if there's something you can do about it, you do it. But when you get to the point where you can't control it, such as I can't control the weather, I can't control when I'm going to die. I mean, I could take steps to ensure that I'm living in a healthy manner, but I can't control when I'm going to die. When I try to control the uncontrollable, that becomes a problem.
Yeah.
So I hope that makes sense, but these terms, we can't use them interchangeably, but you know, it's like, man, I'll tell you, Regina, it is when we trust the Lord, when we turn to him in prayer, when we receive the sacraments, when we read scripture every day, when we start doing these things, there's just peace that I experienced.
He said, come to me all the way.
There you go.
Right?
That's
you
the key.
You finished the sentence, right? Yeah,
that's so true. That's what he said. Come to me if you're burdened and you're heavy laden, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give you rest. Does that mean I'll never have a storm in my life? Heck no. It means that in the midst of the storm, he's there. And that is powerful. But also, you know what I've learned? This is a process. This is something we need to work on every day. And it gets better. It gets better.
And I also like how St. Paul talks about you'll never get anything more than you can handle.
Right. Well, and that's really interesting. Things, right? Because and here, let me I agree with you, but here's the way I like to put that. And you, I don't know if you ever heard it put this way before, but we hear people say all the time, the God will never give you anything more than you can handle. You never have anything more. Right. Yeah. And that's absolutely right in a sense, but by myself, every day he gives me more than I can handle. However, with him, we can do it. And I think that's the distinction that I always like to make. There's so many things I can't handle, but he never asked me to do anything by myself. And that's the key.
Trust in him.
Yeah. With him, he's saying, look, Gary, I'll help you, man. We're going to be yoked together. We're going to do this.
True. I love your energy.
I get excited when I talk about the when I talk about the Lord, I get really excited.
So I'm excited about this book because, like, yeah, I said to you, Lenten and Ash Wednesday is a week from Wednesday. This year, wow, 2020, yeah, it's going to sound strange, but I'm going to say, let's start at the end. And exactly, you know what that means. So I know people are like, what?
I know.
Can you define that? And let's start talking about your book.
Well, you know, when I was writing this book, I would like to think that the Holy Spirit inspires everything I write because I know well what I can do on my own, and it's not much. So when I get these ideas, it probably won't surprise you that I tend to force things because I'm a worrier. I like to take control. I'm a control freak. I like to force things. And when it comes to writing, I like to say, I'm going to get it done by this date, and this is what I'm going to write today. But I found out that the Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. And really, I have to follow his lead. When he wants me to write, I write. I get ideas. Stuff comes out. It happens. When I try to force it, I realize it's not the Holy Spirit, it's me working.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah,
go ahead.
When
you do that, do you say to the publisher, oh, I'll have it in a year, I'll have it in 6 months? I mean, how do you do that without getting yourself really backed into the corner? You don't want to get yourself into that situation again. Because
absolutely,
if you're a type A to begin with, you're going to go out of your mind.
You're right, and that's a great question. But typically, I get about, I think on the average, 3 months to write my books. I think all of them have been written in about 3 months. What I'm talking about is within those 3 months, I mark down, you know, I have to have some kind of a schedule. But there have been times when I say, Gary, wants to get this done by the end of this week, and nothing's coming. Mm-hmm. And then I start to panic. That's step one. And then I realize, wait a minute.
Worry.
Right,
anxiety.
Right. But then I've learned to catch myself and say, Holy Spirit, you're in charge. If you want this book to come out, you've got to give me the words. And what I'll find is that maybe 1, 2, 3, 4 days might go by, and I'm going to spend that time praying, reading, spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, going to Mass, whatever I need to do, and all of a sudden it begins to flow. So, you know, the Holy Spirit gets the deadline, and I think he handles that very well. I've never been late on any of my books, but within that deadline, I like to set my own deadlines, and I often get reminded by the Holy Spirit that I'm not the guy in charge. And, you know, after a while, I start to realize that, and I'm understanding that now. But the point I'm trying to make about that is this idea of the introduction of the book, Give Up Worry for Lent. The idea came to me to call it the end, to start with the end, because, and again, I give the Holy Spirit credit for this one. I call this the end because it's the end, it represents the end of your life as a worrier. Yeah. When we try to break away from worry and say, look, I'm leaving that behind. This Lent, I begin anew. I'm going to give up worry for Lent. And that's why I decided to come up with that as the introduction of the book.
That sounds like a really good place to start, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because we want to break away from it. We want this to be a new beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let it go. Let it be in the past. So let it be the end. Let's talk about the structure. And like you said,
yes,
you start off the week by, let's talk about the general day. You start off with the reading, you give a reflection. But you also have what I think is fun, is thought for the week. For example, you have yesterday is gone, tomorrow is not yet come. Mm-hmm. We only have today. Let us begin. And I love that. St. Teresa of Calcutta.
Right, right.
So talk to me about the structure and how you want to proceed with this.
Yeah, so the way the book works is it's a, and you've seen the book, it's very doable for somebody who doesn't have a lot of time. And that was the way I wanted it. The book begins on Ash Wednesday with that verse that you mentioned earlier, the words of Jesus, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, Matthew 11:28. that's a very appealing offer from the Lord. And I think that really sets the theme for Lent. And that's why I wanted that to be the very first meditation. The book is laid out every day, has a short Bible verse, a very short reflection, a response, some takeaway or some call to action, something that I have to do, and finally a short prayer. It's every day. It begins on Ash Wednesday. The book ends on, I have it end on Easter Sunday. As you mentioned, every week has a brief reflection from a saint before it. So it's really designed to help you on a daily basis go from fear and move closer to the Lord instead of worrying. And the hope, Regina, is that this book, by the time you're done Lent, it's already become a habit, and you can carry it into the rest
of
the year.
Break that down. Habit versus, you know what I mean? They say it takes a certain amount of time.
Exactly.
To break.
Right. I've heard 30 days, 40 days for a particular action to become habitual, because it does take effort. With my life, I have trained myself from an early age that when a problem arises or a potential threat comes around in my life, my initial reaction is to worry, to begin to think about all the horrible things that could come from this. So now I've trained myself, the Lord has helped me to be trained. When I am afraid of something or the unknown or some situation in my life, now instead of beginning to worry, I turn to Jesus. I open my Bible. I pray. I go to Mass. I go to confession. This is my hope for this book, that after 40 days of, because for a lot of us, a lot of people, Scripture is not part of their daily walk of life. You know, people aren't used to turning to the Lord and hearing from sacred Scripture. I spent years not doing this. I never read the Bible, but my hope is that people will get used to doing this. And then after Lent, it becomes second nature that this just continues throughout the year. And you know what? Next year, we do it again. And that's the way this book is designed. We'll be working on this for the rest of our life. I mean, I've still got a way to go, and I'm fine to work on this for the rest of my life and to continue to grow closer to the Lord, to move away from worry and move closer to Him.
So let me ask you, I know you can do it individually, but how would you approach it if you were doing it with another or doing it in a small group situation?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question. And a lot of people are doing it. Now, this book came out last year for the first time, and a lot of people did it individually. And I've learned a lot from hearing people go through this. One of the things that people are doing is they're getting together to discuss the book, to do it in a group, and to talk about their worries. Here's what I'm worried about now, and here's how this helped me. Let's pray together, that type of thing. And one of the things I'm doing this year, in addition to the book, is I created a Give Up Worry for Lent Facebook page for those who are on Facebook. Oh, yeah. What I'm going to do is make this interactive. So each day, I'll post something that supplements the daily readings, and I'll interact with people. And people might question me, and that's okay, because this verse that we just talked about a few minutes ago, Jesus saying, come to me and I'll give you rest, somebody could very easily, and I think I've been guilty of saying this at times, somebody could come to me and say, well, Gary, that's not happening. I'm coming to Jesus and I'm still a wreck. What's up with that? And that gives me a chance to respond. And I really want this to be interactive, because I do what I do, Regina, because I really want to bring souls to Christ and help them to escape from the worry that plagued me for years. I'm in it for the long haul, and I want to be not somebody who just writes books, but I want to interact with my readers as well. So I went off on a tangent, but
no, you're fine. Listen, I was so engrossed in what you're saying, I forgot my next question. What is the Facebook page? So I know I can sign up.
It's called Give Up Worry for Lent. And
the book title.
Yeah, that's right. And all I ask people to do is just like the page, and then you'll see all of my posts. I've already started to post some videos and comments and some information about the book. Because we're in this together. We are doing this as a team.
Right.
So in effect, we're all working on this book in a group, and I'm going to be doing it again as well.
Good for you. Good, good, good. You said you've authored some other books.
Yeah.
And I think it's seven. You're up to seven now.
I'm up to seven.
But a lot of them still have to do with anxiety. So when we're done with this one, we can move on and take a look back at some of the other books you've written.
That would be great. That would be great, because it's so funny. About this book in particular, I'll share with you an interesting story. I've written the book that started it all was A Worrier's Guide to the Bible, which was really designed to help those who worry to find verses in the Bible that will help them not worry. And after that, there was a book called From Fear to Faith, which is a step-by-step approach to overcoming anxiety with the help of the Lord. Then I did Stop Worrying and Start Living for Dynamic Catholic, which is a daily 365-day devotional for those who worry. And Regina,
that's perfect. Every other day, once.
Which is funny. Here's the thing about that book. On the cover, it says 365 daily reflections. Now, as somebody who always thinks of potential problems, I thought, you know what? And it's going to be the case this year. I said, I've got to make sure I do one for leap year too, for February 29th. So it's actually 366 devotions, because I didn't want some poor worrier to on February 29th to say, oh my God,
he
didn't put her verse. But after these books, right, I've written several books. I've spoken on anxiety. I mean, everybody knows me as the worry guy. I thought, that's it. No more books. No more books about worry. But then this idea of give up worry for Lent, it just hit me. And I thought, you know, Lord, I feel you're asking me to write one more. This book, Regina, has been the fastest selling book out of any of them. Right? So obviously the Holy Spirit wanted me to write one more about anxiety.
It just fits perfectly. Instead of giving up candy, mm-hmm. you know, or something superficial, bring yourself closer to Christ by doing something that's going to benefit you both.
Yeah.
He asked
you
to do that. That's the main thing he asked you to do.
Right. And
focus on it.
And we tend to ignore that. You know, everybody knows, I've yet to meet a person who has said, no, I never heard Jesus say, do not worry. We all know he said it, but the problem is we don't think it's possible.
Right.
But that verse, we're going to get back to that verse. I see a theme developing here over this interview. Mm-hmm. Come to me. That's the theme. Jesus is saying, look, you come to me. That's how you do it. And that's the secret to overcoming worry.
Well, this has been a pleasure. So tell me, what else are you doing right now? You're doing your own podcast, which I saw on Breadbox mm-hmm. Media. It's mm-hmm. called the Gary's Zamek Show.
Yeah.
.com. You have a website too, or no, that's not your website. The website is followingthetruth.com.
Is that correct? Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. And how else can somebody follow you? Do you have like LinkedIn?
I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. Everything.
Twitter. Cool.
Yeah. Everything about me can be found at followingthetruth.com. I do freelance writing as well for different Catholic publications. And there's another book in the works. It'll be out in the fall.
Oh, what is that?
It is called Let Go of Anger and Stress. Be transformed by the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I have always wanted to write a book about the Holy Spirit. This one focuses on the fruits of the Spirit, because if we really let the Holy Spirit work in our lives, we're going to have these fruits on display. Two of them, peace and joy. And doesn't that sound appealing? If we could have peace and joy in our life, well, the secret is to let the Holy Spirit work through us.
Yeah, well, what you said is profound. It's simple, yet profound. People just don't listen to this kind of thing, and we need to get back to that. We need to get back to the words of what Jesus said to do.
And you're right. It's simple. It's mm-hmm. it's very simple. And I like simple, but it almost seems impossible, doesn't it? When it could be overwhelming.
It might be anxiety provoking. It's just going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
But he still calls you to do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it does work, provided we turn to him and let him do the bulk of the work.
Right. Well, this has been an absolute pleasure. I'm so excited. 26th of February can't come soon enough. I Kindled this. I bought one for my friend. We're all excited about doing this. So thank you so much for being here and talking to me today. I hope people go out. And where can they get it? It's Ave Maria Press. Should they go there?
They can go there. They can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, local Catholic bookstores. The book is very easy to find.
Okay, perfect. Well, that's what we'll do. People, go out and get it. You won't be disappointed. Believe me, you won't be. So thanks again. And God bless you.
My pleasure. You did a great job, Regina. Great to talk to you.
Thank you. Take care. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Many thanks to Gary for taking the time today to come and talk to us about Give Up Worry for Lent. Boy, was that perfect timing, seeing Bonnie talking to him. So I'm so glad that he had the opportunity to speak to us. Make sure to get those ashes for Lent, the 26th, next Wednesday. So until next week, my virtual friends, Be blessed.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by A few minutes each day can change your life during Lent. Ave Maria Press offers booklets for daily devotion, reflection, and more from such best-selling authors as Gary Zemak, Greg Kandra, Father Michael White, and Tom Corcoran, and so many more. Looking for Stations of the Cross booklets or books that are perfect for small groups? We have those too. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LENT20 to get 20% off your order today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees, available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.